Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to Schmidt List, where we inspire and educate emerging leaders by bringing you conversations with the best experts and thought contributors in technology and design. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's listen in as your host, President at Foundry, Kurt Schmidt, speaks with this episode's inspiring leaders.
Brad, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Kurt?
Oh, it's good. Good to see you. I'm doing fantastic. I want to jump right in to all things branding and naming, but first, tell me about Bullhorn and the work you do there.
Sure. We're a Kentucky-based branding agency. We work for impact companies, and we focus on kind of three things: naming, verbal, visual identity, and brand campaigns. And so what I mean by impact companies, there's no real like hard and fast definition, but it's folks who are determined through the work that they do in their business to make the world a better place one way or the other, which my experience has been ends up being an awful lot of the folks out there.
Yep. Yep. In one way or another. How did you get into branding and as a profession? Did you grow up as a little boy saying, boy, I can't wait to rebrand things and name things?
No, that would have made it like 1,000 times easier. Unfortunately, I had to screw everything up a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I grew up, I like to read novels, and I thought, what else would you do if you like to read other than you become a professor? That's just like the only thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so I took a year off after college to apply to PhD programs. While I was doing that, I took a job at a bike shop, and I learned a couple of really important things at the bike shop. One was I didn't like to teach, which was a tough thing to realize since there wasn't really a backup plan.
Yep.
But I did realize that I was surprisingly really interested in business. And a bike shop's an interesting place to get that education.
It really is, like, yeah.
You buy your thing, you provide the service to build it, to make sure you connect the person to the right bike, and then either you make a profit or you don't. So, yeah, so. It actually ended up being a really good business education. And at that point, the owner of the shop allowed me to work on some citywide events. And so part of what I was really drawn to in those events was the marketing side. And so in 2008, yeah, I left thinking that my partner and I would do mainly event marketing. Turns out no one wanted to pay us to do any event marketing. So we weren't an event marketing company for a terribly long time. So really, the last 12 years, it's like a long story of what are we good at? What can we make money at? And what benefits our community? And interestingly enough, as we've grown, our idea of our community, of course, has grown, but our idea of what we're good at actually has contracted quite a bit. And so we went from thinking we could do pretty broad-based services within the marketing space to realizing really what we're good at naming, we're good at the visual and verbal identity, and we're good at helping folks launch that into the world. And that's where we want to stick.
It's very cool. And I think it's always been a challenge for me, the idea of thinking of the branding and naming of companies, products, services, because there's an emotional attachment to these things. It's not as simple as, well, not that it's simple, buying ads on Facebook or pay-per-click marketing or even PR. When you're naming something, when you're giving it an identity, there's a very personal connection there, I'm sure, with your clients. Is that something you've experienced?
Yes, definitely. And I think it depends a little bit on the type of business, but certainly, certainly businesses that are providing service-based businesses, B2B businesses, it's interesting. People talk about how much consumer research you do. And it's like in those sort of situations, really, there's not much consumer research at all. Really, the most important thing for those sort of companies, we're trying to find that right cultural fit and that fit, that name that really is like the most distilled signifier of who they want to be and who they are. Mm-hmm. And so it's highly personal. And probably when you get into kind of a product space, it becomes a little less, and you're more interested in what's going to be resonant with the broader market.
Yep. Yeah. Do you find that people show up? Do they show up? I'm just always wondering like how people show up to some of these services and agents. Do they show up and say, we've got some names and we need a logo? And you're like, oh boy. Because one thing, I work a lot with startups over the years, and the one piece of advice around naming, is just, you're not clever. Like you might think you're clever, but you're not. And right. So talk me through a little bit about how, again, it's like I said, it's an emotional attachment, I'm sure. So if Bob's Plumbing Services show up for you and say, we want to go national, are you like, and they're like, yeah, we think Bob is a great name that will resonate with people to go national and expand in all these into commercial. How do you initially broach that subject? Do you start with workshops? How do you initiate the engagements usually?
There are three hard parts about naming. And I think the process that we do focuses on kind of de-risking each of those sections and hopefully delivering the best consistent results. And so the first step is always talking to them about what is the criteria by which we're going to be able to, at the end of this thing, to say, this is a good name or this is a bad name. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, so we work for a couple of different sorts of companies. Sometimes it'll be a successful company for whatever reason has decided they need to rebrand and rename. And so we work in that sort of situation. And a lot of times they don't really have an idea of where they want to go. They just have a sense that where they are isn't quite right. And so it's in those situations, it's a little bit more of an exploratory sort of posture. There's almost like a psychotherapist sort of thing where we're helping them understand who they are, who they want to be, where they want to go. And so that helps us develop the criteria list.
Okay.
If it's something new, more often than not, those folks have been thinking about it for a long time. So they often have some idea of what it might be called or names that they'd like. And so oftentimes in those cases, we'll work with an internal candidate and then also be working to develop other names. But even before we start to work on names, we want to come to an agreement. What's our strategy? What are we trying to do? Because we can't really develop names, and we certainly can't decide which is the best one until we're agreeing on what are the tones we're trying to get at. So what should it sound like? Should it be inclusive or exclusive? That would sound potentially pretty different. Should it sound fun or smart? Those are pretty different sorts of things. And so once we have our tone list, then we're going to think about the mechanics of what does the name need to do. And so that gets down to some of the, how important is a short URL, social handles? How important is spelling and pronunciation? So for some people, they don't really care. We were working with someone in the logistics space and they're like, look, 100 times a day, truck drivers have to be able to spell our name or they're not going to get paid. And 100 times a day or 1,000 times a day, we're making calls and answering the phone. So it has to be really easy to say.
You don't want to have to teach them a new word.
No, you don't want to have to teach anyone how to spell a new word. And you want to be able to have something that really rolls off the tongue naturally.
Yep.
So they're like the mechanical considerations. And so we want to come to that criteria list and make sure we're working in the same direction with them, because it's, again, we don't want to get to a situation where it's like, where I like this and it's like, I like this, because those sort of conversations aren't very helpful and they don't really end up meeting the needs of the business very often.
Yep. And that's, you brought up something really interesting in there, because it's things that Saul Bass, Milton Glaser, Paul Rand didn't have to worry about, is can I get the domain name back right. in the day? So this, that's one thing, especially in the startup world, that seems where a lot of people start the discussion and just discovery. Is that something you've experienced as well?
Yeah, a lot of times that ends up being a first thing people want to talk about. And now, luckily, with the .com being decentralized a little bit, it helps with so many different extensions. And depending on where, probably depending on where they are and how old the client, depends on how much they want a .com or not. Mm-hmm. People are often more comfortable with a different extension, which helps a lot. But that also leads into competition sort of discussions. How comfortable are you with name competition? Mm. And that has to do with what industry are you in. If you're selling supplements online, you're competing with a million different companies. It's like hyper competitive. It's global. If you're a local private equity or a local like wealth manager or something, you may have 10 competitors. So it's figuring out that like uniqueness spectrum too. How unique does the name need to be? And yeah, so people definitely are interested in that URL. That's a big concern.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah. Yeah. That plus the, like you mentioned, the social handles and all those things. Can I get all those things? I hear a lot. So let's talk about some advice here. Let's say I am a person that's working on, maybe I'm launching a new SaaS product or a new business around that. What's some of the homework that I should be doing before I reach out to a branding organization or a company like yours? What sort of things can I be doing now to be setting myself up for success? Because you've also wrote a book about this, right?
Yeah. If you can, of course, buy the book. That would be a great first
Which I start. Definitely suggest you do. It's a great book. I read it. It's great.
I think the best thing you can do is, there are tons of exercises to help you get down your positioning, help you be able to, it's like the basic stuff. So if you can talk about your product, if you can do the elevator pitch sort of thing, it's that critical thinking step to really understanding who you are, what your product is, and what it's going to do. And if you can't say that in a really succinct sort of way, you're not going to be able to communicate that to someone who you're going to hire to name. And so the process is going to take longer. The first advice is to figure out what you're doing and who you're selling it to, so that you can communicate it really clearly. That's before you get started on the steps, I guess. That's like step zero. And step one, you can start taking an assessment of names in the landscape, what names exist. And so in the book, there are all different types of names, from real word, foreign language words, compound words. So it's, what kind of names exist out there? What are you drawn towards? If you can provide any sort of like guardrails on the process, that can also help. It's counterintuitive, but for someone doing a creative task, like creating a name or creating a logo, no restrictions are almost worse than a lot of restrictions. And so if you come in saying, I want a name that is really a metaphor for what we do, and here's what we do, and we want it to be this really rich, dense metaphor, that's easier than saying it could be anything. Maybe we could look at made up words, and we could look at some foreign language words, and then some metaphors. So I think most people think creatives want total freedom, but that's not really how creativity works. Creativity works best within parameters.
No, it makes sense. And do you find that, what's been the feedback on the book so far? Do you feel like it's all inclusive tool, or Is it better with friends?
That's a good question. The book is really the primary audience as I was writing it. So a little background, I was working on the process for, I was trying to refine the process for us internally because we were at the point where we needed to hire freelancers to help with some of our naming efforts. And I was having a hard time helping these kind of smart people generate good lists of words. And so I set out trying to find a good process, and there wasn't really a book that outlined, like, there were books that said, what makes a name good? There were books that said, here's the history of names, but there wasn't really something that said, here's how you go through five steps and come out with a good name. And so I realized there was a hole in the market. And that if someone like me, who's a naming person, couldn't figure out how to do it and what the process was, what about the entrepreneur who really didn't care about naming at all? You want one good name, and then you want to never want to think about naming again. And so I was really thinking about that entrepreneur. So the book is really set for someone to go through and start with your business idea. And at the end, I think you can have a good, strong name. Secondarily, we were also thinking about people who do naming for clients, or people who occasionally do naming and need extra tips and tricks. So they're also, it's also good for that group too. And throughout the process, there are places where it tells you what things you should be doing by yourself and then when you should come back together. And so in the name generation part, for example, I think a common thing, people have this conception of what does brainstorming look like? Brainstorming is we're sitting around a conference table, we have post-it notes, and we're like doing this like design thinking looking work. That's not really how it works for naming. Mostly what happens is the loudest person in the room, their idea rides, and a lot of other ideas converge towards those ideas. And so the whole process is really oriented towards creating divergence, not convergence. Because if you can't have a lot of different names and a lot of different types of names, you're not going to find the good one. So I guess if you're working by yourself, the book is... that's exactly what it's for. And if you're working in a group, there are places where it says, okay, here's where you're going to want to come together and do this. Don't do it yet, because that's going to make the end result is not going to be as good. Generate these names on your own, then come together to assess the names and weigh the criteria against what you generated.
Yeah. And then do you suggest, how does testing go for you? Is it a focus group typical thing, or what have you seen be successful? Because I feel, again, back to the emotional connection to it, I can imagine it might be tricky to do some initial test audience testing.
I think it's really hard. And I think it's hard for a couple of reasons. One is most people don't know why they like brand names. So you're asking someone who doesn't really have any business having an opinion what they think about something. So it's,
like the Henry Ford quote where he supposedly said if they wanted, they would have said they wanted faster horses.
Exactly. So most people just don't. The big problem is there's this idea of the halo effect. And so it's, we attribute positive or negative things on a business depending if they succeed or fail. So the idea is if someone is successful, it's because they expanded really quickly and took advantage of market opportunity. Or if they fail, it's because they expanded too quickly and got away from their core. So the two companies did exactly the same thing, but we attribute one positively because it was a success and one negatively because it was a failure. And I think we do the same thing to brand names. So if you think of like Apple versus BlackBerry, most people would probably say Apple's a better brand name because it's so much more successful. Where I personally think I like BlackBerry a lot better, even though the company hasn't been nearly as successful. And so it's an unpopular point of view.
Yeah.
So first off, the huge caveat is be careful, because most people are going to say, I don't know, I don't get it. It sounds kind of dumb.
I don't get it. Yep.
So what you're trying to do, the big thing of what you're trying to do with any sort of testing is get people to say, this works better or worse for your criteria than this. That's the big thing. What you don't want anyone saying is, I like this one better than this one. because what they like or don't like probably doesn't matter that much. Sure. Because they, again, like they don't have a very asking your mom if the code on this website's better than the other. So she may not be very well positioned. She may, but she may not be very well positioned to say this is more effective. So what we do is we'll often do small groups. And what I like to do is start off with the criteria. So here's what we're trying to do. And sometimes if the person you think like would have a hard time getting understanding the words like brand strategy or those kind of things, you can always say, we have a few big business goals and here are the business goals. Here are what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then you can look through the names. And
okay. So you set the expectations up front with, this is, we're trying to present something to you to invoke these things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to be, first off, what's the space? So it's going to be, it's a tech company that's this particular SaaS platform to address this problem. We want it to be fun and engaging and really inclusive. And then all of these have been tested. So we have a good URL, et cetera, et cetera. And so when you go through the list, you can ask, so which one, what we like to do is, and from 1 to 10, do you think one, this is like executes really poorly against our criteria, or 10, it's like the best name for the criteria. And so we try to get it on this spectrum rather than just a binary. Right. Yes, no.
We just a yes or no.
Yep. And the other thing, another tip, if you're doing this, when I people, if you show people a list of names or just a piece of paper with a word on it, people have a really hard time imagining that as a business doing something. And so you get worse results. So what we try to do is provide as much context as possible. And so we'll show each name twice, once in two different typefaces, because we're really influenced by how things look. And so maybe one will be a really standard sort of serif typeface that looks buttoned up. The other one might be a sans serif typeface. Also, we'll put them over images that are somehow related to the goals that we're trying to accomplish. I don't know if it's a tech company, maybe there are a couple of different images that people would associate with technology or solving a particular problem. Because again, people have a really hard time imagining, okay, here's this word on the screen and I know what this word means, but it's to imagine it as a name of a company is a big leap to ask most people. So yeah, put as much context into it as possible by starting with framing with the criteria and then put it over the top of visuals, if possible, in a couple of different typefaces so they can start to imagine what it might actually look like once it becomes real.
Yeah, I love that shaping piece. All right, so speaking of that brand name thing, I'm going to do a quick lightning round with you just for a test here. So I'm going to read off a couple of names here, and you tell me, these are the original names of these companies, okay? And then they change their names, okay? So the first one I'm going to say here is, hopefully it's an easy one. The company's original name was Backrub.
Oh, man. I don't know it.
It's Google.
Google.
Yep. So they originally named it Backrub because of all the backlinks. That's how their system was built. So they were, you rub my back, I rub yours, you know, scratch. But luckily they changed that. All right. This one was, you brought up earlier this brand, but their original name was Research in Motion.
What did I bring up earlier? Research in Motion.
That's a hard one. I wouldn't get this one.
Yeah.
But that's BlackBerry.
BlackBerry.
Yep.
That BlackBerry's a lot better name.
You think?
That was a distinct step forward.
It's a big step forward. Yeah. Here's another one. Again, this is back to Minnesota companies. This one was originally called Sound of Music.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Nope. That's Best Buy.
Wow. I have never.
This one I didn't know. Blue Ribbon Sports.
That's Nike.
Yep, that's Nike. Yeah, see, you got that. And then, let's see, the last one I want to do. This one I didn't know either, but it is Goodfellow's Dry Goods. Goodfellow's Dry Goods.
There's not a hint there, I don't think, is there?
What's that?
I don't know it. I was trying to think.
That's Target.
Oh, Target. Another one. Speaking of another one that comes up a lot is Minnesota Mining and Minerals.
Yes, Minnesota Mining and Minerals. Yep. Now it's just three. So with that, the reason why I wanted to do that is because I'm imagining there's a lot of times where people are showing up to rename something. Yep. And again, back to that emotional connection people have, right? Maybe it could even be something where just the initial, like, first product or first location or something was this thing, and now they want to expand it. Like Best Buy, Sound of Music was like, just like the first few stores was named that, and then they rebranded and went to the moon. Tell me about rebranding. How does that work for you when people are like, man, our identity isn't cutting it? I don't know. Tell me more about how you view rebranding.
Yep. I actually have a blog post coming out I'll send over, and we can put in the link maybe later.
Thanks.
About questions to ask yourself if you're considering a rebrand.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, it keeps business people up at night. It's because it's such a big deal. You feel like
it's a huge deal.
It's the core, and it's not just like the core of your identity, but now the reality is there are all these like SEO considerations, where there's all this actual like equity out there in addition to brand equity that might or might not be in your consumers' heads.
Right.
And so we totally get and are empathetic towards the reality that it is stressful. But 100% of our clients at the end all said, that wasn't as bad as I expected. I totally should have done it earlier. And that's regardless of size. So generally, the biggest thing we talk about is your name should be a practical impediment either to your business or your culture. And so it is, for whatever reason, your name a barrier to future growth. And that could be because you've changed your core offering, you've evolved in some way so that the name's misleading.
Yep.
Or, like, for example, we were working with a company, the guy had named it after himself and was trying to take on partners in this particular business. The way the business grows is by taking on partners. Those partners have a book of business, then it grows and grows. And so they didn't really want to join underneath his name. We changed the name to something more aspirational, gave the culture some kind of, added a little meat to the culture. And then all of a sudden it's a lot more attractive to people to come in, and the business grows a lot faster. So those are some first off considerations. Now, a lot, interestingly, we're hearing a bunch about if the name is just offensive.
The
Cleveland Indians or something. Example with their switch to the Guardians.
Yep.
If that's the case, probably you don't want to wait around to see if there's going to be a controversy. Get out in front and just go ahead and do it. Start taking the steps. That's always a better thing.
Yeah. With lawyer firms, it seems easy. They just tack on last names over and over.
And then once there are too many, then it just becomes an acronym. You
know? Yeah. And then partners or something.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've found that, companies grow over time, and especially quickly growing companies, to your point, if they're adding services, if their core offering starts to change, if their audience starts to change, the actual end consumer. Yeah, I can imagine a lot of people are probably approaching you about 6 months to a year later than they probably, or even longer than they should have.
Yeah. It's, you always wish you would have done it earlier. It's one of those things. It's stressful, but get it over with. It's not that bad.
Well, that goes back to my point. You know, people look at it like a logo, and it's a logo, it's a mark, it's brand, whatever. But there's a lot of emotional labor that has gone into those things. And to somebody coming in from the outside, maybe you hire a new marketing person and they're like, we need to change the name of this product to better. Like, you got to be careful. There's people who have emotional attachment to those things. But like I've said, sometimes these changes, you got to drag people kicking and screaming to a better place, right? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That brings up another thought on criteria. For those of you out there who are working on products, the criteria, part of the criteria is, how does it fit into the overall brand architecture, and what other names exist in the space, and how do they interrelate? That's an additional layer when you think of product naming, because you're generally not going to name something in a vacuum. It's going to be named something in relation to a parent company and then other products. So anyway, that's an aside.
No, it's good. I like it. Yeah, no, I always tell the story of how Foundry, how we got our name, which was, it was the only name that Robert and Nils, my two partners, could agree on. It's a beautiful story. Do you ever find that where it's okay, we'll go with the lesser of two. We'll go the lesser of the evils. We'll just pick that one.
Yeah. Well, so people often ask about Bullhorn.
And yeah.
My original partner and I was refurbishing my house at the time. And so we were at the laundromat because I didn't have a washer and dryer hooked up.
Yeah.
And literally, we had to have a name by the end of the dryer cycle. You know, so it's like we had the spin cycle to brainstorm, and then we had the dryer cycle.
That's really funny.
And those were the constraints. And so at the end of it, we went over and registered with the Secretary of State.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the name Bullhorn. I think it's great. I think it would be better. Yeah, I mean, again, people pull things out around that's going around them. So it's a good thing you didn't name it like drywall or something like that. That would have, or spin cycle.
Right.
That would have been a
different feel.
A whole different feel. Well,
although
Brad, I want to thank you.
The laundromat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the laundromat.
That might have been a good one.
That might be a good one. Yeah, you could pair yourself up with the French Laundry. The Tennessee laundromat. Yeah, I like it. Oh, speaking of Tennessee, the original name of this company was Bourbon, but it didn't have an O at the end.
I don't know.
It was Instagram.
Was Bourbon. I had
not been
there.
Yeah,
I learned a lot today.
I get nerdy about these things. I love it. That's why I'm so excited that you joined me. So, Brad, if I want to know more about the book, I put the link into the comments in the, you can check out the show notes. I'll have links to check out Brad's book on naming. And I 100% suggest it, because Brad's book is the type of book I like that has some tactical. It's not just all theoretical about brands and the touchy feelies about things, which is important. Like we mentioned, there is emotional ties to it. But I love that it is very tactical. It gives you some steps to do. And so even if you're not going through a naming exercise today or tomorrow, it's just a great book to go through on your own to get versed into how these things happen. So I appreciate the book. I think it was fantastic, and I definitely suggest people go and check it out. But if I want to connect with you, Brad, and Bullhorn, where do I go? Where do I find more info?
We are bullhorncreative.com, and we're Bullhorn Creative most social places too. And the naming book is thenamingbook.com. You can check that out and get that anywhere where you'd buy a book.
That's good branding for the naming book.
That was one of those things. It was like, that one was tough for me.
That was
where the criteria made a huge difference, because as a naming person, there's the constant pressure to have the most clever thing.
Yes,
ever.
Yes. And super clever.
The naming book is the dumbest name.
No, it's best.
It's just like, it works. Anyway.
I love it. I don't know. I guess I'm old school. Like, I appreciate the Bumbles, the TikToks. I enjoy those names, but like, I still like AAA Auto Body. I know what I'm getting. I know what it is. And I love those companies that were named during the Yellow Pages days, so you could show right up at the front. A1 Plumbing.
And
fantastic.
Funnily enough, also, to get back to the earlier point, the namingbook.com was available. So it was like the $3 domain plus, I was like, okay.
It's beautiful.
I'll go for it.
It's beautiful. Brad, again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a blast.
We hope you join us for more conversations in the future with leading experts in technology and design. Please contact us at schmidt-list.com and foundrymakes.com for more information.